This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Alistair Starling. We're at the e-residency summit in Estonia, and Alistair's going to talk to us about the experience of himself and his business with e-residency and what it means for your organisation. Alistair, good morning.
Good morning, Ian. I'm the founder and managing director of a company called European Diplomats, based out of Estonia as an e-residency company. Been running it for almost 3 years now. I live in Berlin, Hamburg, Tallinn, Cambridge and London, hence wanting a fully digital company. As an ex-British diplomat, I brought together a team across Brussels, London, Berlin, Hamburg, Tallinn. We help companies speak to government and we help governments speak to companies. We act as that bridge. We open doors, we do the liaison, and we help look for that win-win. It's a really enjoyable business to be in. It's very mobile, very fast-moving, very digital. It's all about some of the big things going on that governments are taking a stance on or making policies on. For example, we're working on EdTech, the tech going into the classroom, the AI, through the Future of Education Consortium that we've set up in Cambridge.
People looking at e-residency might be confused as to what it means for them as an individual and them as a company. Tell us a bit about your experience and why you went down this path rather than perhaps taking up German residency or French or Italian or Spanish or something like that.
Living in Berlin for the last 10 years, I have German citizenship, which happened during that time. So British and German citizenship. I wasn't looking for another citizenship. I was literally looking for a really good, easy way of setting up a company. In my personal case, I looked at Brussels, London, Berlin, and then completely out of the blue, someone told me about Estonia. I was looking at just setting up a limited company, and it was all about the company. It wasn't about my tax affairs, my financial situation. I was completely happy being a German tax resident, but I needed a company that could operate globally. And then I looked into the e-residency process at that point.
A company that operates globally, well, that could have been London, that could have been Berlin. Germany would have given you a whole access to the EU. What does e-residency for your business given you that you couldn't have got if you'd set your company up in Germany or in the UK or in any other country?
That's a really good point. I knew a little bit about limited companies in the UK. I knew how easy it was to set one up because I had been selling the UK to the world as a British diplomat for 10 years in my earlier career. And I knew a little bit about setting something up, a mini GmbH, GmbH in Germany. I knew those things could trade internationally, but I also knew that they had quite a lot of physicality attached to them. In each case, you'd need to have a sit down physically at least once. In the case of Germany, several times with a notary, an accountant and a lawyer. I had the impression that in the UK, I'd have to sit down with someone at least once as well. But immediately upon reading the information about the e-residency, becoming an e-resident as a person, and then applying for the company attached to that in Estonia, I realized it was completely non-physical. It was completely digital. I didn't even need to go to Estonia. Not even once. I just had to pick up something from my nearest embassy. That's what they said.
If we look at the UK and we look at Germany, two very advanced nations, two nations where governments have talked a lot about digitization. They have programs in place to make services available digitally. It's quite fascinating to hear you say that you'd still have to sit down physically with somebody to create companies and do tax affairs with accountants and things like that. How does Estonia become such a game changer for your business?
Digitization is defined differently by different cultures and different countries. In my experience in the UK, digitization is very prevalent in your day-to-day life, banking and everything else. In Germany, digitization isn't very prevalent. It's a superb place to live, but digitization is just not happening yet. it's a cash-based society in many ways, and physical signatures in pen, on paper, very, very important, a physical mailbox. In Estonia, it just was a completely different kettle of fish. It was a secure government ID, encrypted signing and logging in with a card reader. My business being about helping businesses and governments to talk to one another and doing the liaison and the door opening between them requires me and my team to move around all the time, and we are based in several countries. I needed all of the cogs to be really well oiled, of not needing to pick up bits of paper or having to fly to somewhere to sign something ever. I just didn't want that. In the case of Estonia, that seemed entirely possible, and in my experience so far has been possible.
You talk about digital signing there. We've seen that from a number of companies. We use a service ourselves when we do contracts with people. But there are multiple apps out there, and whilst everybody says their app is the leader or their app is accepted by everybody, the harsh reality is often they're not. Also, those apps are not embedded into government. And that fascinated me yesterday when I was listening to some of the presentations here. This is government-embedded digital signatures, therefore is wholly acceptable everywhere. How much do you use that digital signing service apart from traditional business things like filing a tax record or making an amendment to the company? Are there other advantages to you, such as contracts?
You're right. There's a huge number of these digital signing technologies. My personal experience in business in Germany in the last 10 years has been using many of those apps, many of those web-based signing things, particularly because I was dealing with governments in different European countries. They wanted the Spanish signing app to be used in Spain and the German one in Germany and so on. There was no standard one that I could use everywhere. Even when you pick one of the bigger ones, this morning my colleague in the team said, "I've securely signed something for you using this app," tongue in cheek, because it wasn't me at all, it was her signing for me. The setup that the Estonians gave me, I don't know about this technology, I just took what I was given, but what I could tell was that it was the same technology that they are using for their citizens. Because of that, it gave me this real confidence that it was something that was going to be more internationally recognized. In my experience running the company for the last 2.5 years, I've had to use it for those basic things that you mentioned, like summary statements and filing VAT and so on. I haven't had to use it for more complex things because I'm not a resident of Estonia. I'm an e-resident of Estonia. I haven't had to use my ID or my card reader or any of that technological wizardry to log into anything else like my health service or anything like that. I have a feeling it would be seamless across Estonia doings and everyday living things. If I were an Estonian citizen, it probably won't be a technology that I'll be using to do something in Germany or in the UK. I'll be using it because my company is based in Estonia.
I'll come back to that differentiator between e-resident and resident in a minute. You've now opened that door. But before I do that, as businesses, we sign contracts with people. Now, normally, those contracts are signed on the basis of law of where we are, UK, Germany, Spain. Now your company's based in Estonia. How complex, how easy has that been to understand what Estonian law means when you sign a contract and to be able to incorporate that? And how accepting have your customers been of a contract that is then enforced under Estonian law?
I'm sure as a fellow business person, you know that there's always a bit of negotiation. If you're signing a contract, you're thrilled about getting this new client, and they're a reasonably sized client compared to yourself, then you can probably say, here's the contract, here's the terms and conditions, it's Estonian law because we're based in Estonia. I understand what I understand about Estonian law because I understand the English versions of Estonian legal documents that I have seen regarding running the company, taxes, the VAT, and so on. The thing to remember is, of course, if you get a really big fish client, you sign someone much bigger than yourself, they're often come along with their own set of terms and conditions, which includes the legal jurisdiction of the contract. One of our American clients last year said the jurisdiction of this contract is going to be the UK. They were based out of the UK for their business with us. We didn't have a problem with that because we were able to sign those contracts as an Estonian limited company with the UK limited company. There was no complexity there. I just agreed to that jurisdiction. the smaller clients that I'm dealing with this year, a couple of them were signing things and saying the jurisdiction is Estonia. There's no problem with that because they can see that it's a full member of the European Union, it has the euro, it has all the checks and balances and democratic safeguards of a European Union country. The only thing I could say in addition to this is when I've communicated with customers or potential customers, I've often said, this is, my company is called European Diplomats, it's registered in Tallinn, you may have heard of it, it's registered in Estonia. I put in brackets, this is a fully European limited company, because the OU is not understood. It's just, no one's ever heard of that necessarily.
How has your professional indemnity insurance coped with that? Again, I run a business, we have professional indemnity insurance. When we sign contracts with large American companies that is suddenly subject to US law, we've had to go back to our insurers and say, okay, this particular client now wants $5 million in indemnity, this one wants $10 million, how does that affect our insurance? Have you taken professional indemnity insurance from an Estonian company or a non-Estonian company? And how have they seen you being based in Estonia?
Quite recently, I've had to change my insurance because of the professional indemnity limits that I needed for a bigger client. So all good news, bigger client, everyone's happy, let's raise the limit. The funny thing is that we immediately started on just raising the limits, ready to pay our lump sum to get those limits changed. It was a German company and we just couldn't get hold of them on the phone or via email. They probably wanted a fax, to be fair. I don't have a fax machine anymore. So we gave up. We had our €550 ready to pay. We couldn't pay it. In the end, we went on the marketplace of the Estonian e-residency program, where you have these background-checked service providers that the Estonian government has said these are bona fide companies. We picked one of those that actually deals with a German insurance company, but as a broker in Estonia. So they had almost a nomadic insurance that dealt with all of the jurisdictions of the contract that we were dealing with.
You mentioned the marketplace there. I had a look myself. They've done a very good job, in many ways far better than the UK has done, in that the UK has looked at its digital marketplace as being how does it deliver services to other government departments, local and national. Whereas this is about people and companies operating here. It's not about a digital marketplace for a very select group of individuals. How many other services have you found yourself using off that digital marketplace? And what was your experience of being able to find and then select the service?
I've used, let's say, two or three. The main one I immediately needed was a registered address via an accountant for my e-residency application. I can't remember at which stage that came, but it was something required. It was very easy to find those kind of suppliers on the marketplace. That's very connected to the idea of setting up a company in another country. Then I found an accountant separate from that. Very easy. I think I interviewed five. Had an online sit down with five of those people from the marketplace, and then I chose one. I used one for just a little bit more consultancy on how it all works. Tell me how this works and that works in the Estonian context. Paid a bit of consultancy for that. The latest one was the insurance. I found it relatively easy to find. The biggest problem I had was sometimes there was a very long list of suppliers doing one particular thing. I didn't know which one to pick. Then you do the normal thing. You go on the website, see how professional they look and read the reviews. But starting off on the marketplace, as opposed to just doing a web search, gave me that degree of confidence that I was starting off in the right place.
You mentioned accountancy there, and taxation is always a challenge for all of us. You have employees in multiple countries around Europe. As you said, that is how you are set up. That, in the UK, would be a nightmare from taxation. Where are they being paid from? Where are they paying their own tax? What are you doing with national insurance? Is that national insurance payable in the UK? Does that have to be paid overseas? How does it apply to that employee? Being a virtual company here in Estonia, how has taxation worked for your business, and how does it work in terms of paying individuals and their tax status?
Taxes, yeah, one of my least favourite subjects in terms of I have to get it right. I'm a very pedantic person. being an ex-British diplomat, I want to make sure I'm squeaky clean and all of my employees are squeaky clean as well. Obviously, it's an individual responsibility to do your tax returns correctly. In each of our cases, my co-founder in London and my co-founder in Brussels and myself living out of Berlin until recently, basically, we make sure that we are doing our personal taxes correctly. The corporate taxation, the corporate dividends and things like that are all dealt with, obviously, in Estonia. That's where the company is based. But then as those things are issued, if, for example, a dividend payment is paid out of Estonia through the company into the pot of myself or someone else, then we have to make sure that we're declaring that correctly in our personal taxation. We've always been very careful to have a tax advisor in each of the countries. My tax advisor sits down the street from me in Berlin, charges me a bit each year to sort it all out, but I'm making sure that I'm squeaky clean, that they understand, and they're helping the German tax authorities understand my particular setup with a company abroad. That's how we have tackled it.
So you're not working as employees of the company in Estonia, you're paying by dividend?
At the moment we're doing that, but we're looking for a service provider right now to take us to the next step, to have more employment contracts and less dividends. We're changing it up a little bit.
You're an e-resident. Are your co-founders and your colleagues also e-residents?
Not yet, but being at the Digital Summit this week and the e-residency conference discussions, I've realized that I can use the e-residency program as a bit of a background check on people I'm doing business with. There's a proper police border force check into someone before they gain e-residency status. I'm going to ask my co-founders to take that step because it's just a brilliant step. It's just a really logical way of setting yourself up, especially if you have sister companies or subsidiaries, something like that. But they're not yet. It's been quite new for them hearing that I, the founder of the company, am an Estonian e-resident and my colleagues are German and British, but they've got quite familiar with it over the last 3 years.
Earlier, you mentioned you're an e-resident but not yet a resident. What are the differentiators for you in terms of the services you get? And at what point do you make that jump? Because we heard yesterday from a number of other people who set up e-residency companies who found it as advantageous to move from an e-residency status to a residency status.
That's a big change, setting up an e-residency company in Estonia is so easy and it's so clear. From the point of view of complexity and repercussions, it's not one of those life-changing moments where you say, if I do this, there's a lot of unraveling if I want to undo this. You do it, you're handheld all the way, you feel like you know what's going on, and it just works. It all clicks into place. But jumping up and saying, I'm going to move to another country, I've done it many times. I lived in Italy 10 years and Germany 10 years and so on. That was never part of my calculations, but I can see if I were to change my residency status, the main concern for me would be about getting healthcare, being able to understand the tax system as a tax resident at that point instead of a corporate tax resident. Estonia is a beautiful place to live, and I live part of my time every month in Estonia now, but I personally don't need that residency status as an individual because I have my German citizenship. And that's the point about Estonia. It is a European country, so my German citizenship is borderless to them. I wouldn't say no if circumstances changed to becoming a full resident here in Estonia. But a lot of people are going to have to ask themselves, do I want to be an e-resident? Do I want to be an e-resident and a resident of Estonia? Or do I just want to be a resident of Estonia? There's all those options. It's amazing. You have the choice.
E-residency renews every 5 years. One of the things we discovered yesterday in the conference was only about 30% of people renew. But that's masked because a number of people moved to the mobile app, which doesn't require a renewal, and there were no numbers to tell us how many people have made that change. Do you see yourself renewing at the five-year point?
You picked up a detail that I hadn't fully appreciated yesterday because I'm less techie. That's interesting. That's why those statistics are lost. I definitely will renew. There's no doubt about it. I've got it in the diary already. I know when my e-residency card is running out. It's just going to be, for me, a seamless continuation. There's no doubt in my mind that I would say after 5 years or any other point in time, I need to do this differently. I need to do this in Britain or Germany. No, it's done now for the company, and that's where we're going with it.
Several times you've made the statement that Estonia is a full EU country. Since Brexit in the UK, a lot of companies have struggled to trade within Europe because of the changing surface of legislation, rules and everything else. Some have tried to move to Ireland and other countries and found barriers. For yourself, you've talked about the simplicity of setting up an e-company here. If you had to say to somebody, why should they come here, or where should they go to get a foothold into Europe for their business, would you recommend Estonia, or would you recommend somewhere else? And if Estonia, why?
I have already recommended to many people over the last 3 years to copy me. Whenever any young entrepreneur or old entrepreneur has said to me, look, I'm thinking of doing this, or I have a company in the UK and I need to export or trade in a slightly more seamless way, I've immediately said, you know where I live? I live in Berlin. I've got an Estonian company. Here's the website. Have a look at it. And they've immediately shown interest, and some of them have taken it up. Some of them haven't. They've gone a different direction. But I would absolutely recommend the Estonian model because it just works and it is internationally accepted. It is fully European. I have companies in the UK, for example, who export various things they make in the UK. They want to talk to me about using my Estonian company to help them do certain things in the European Union. It doesn't matter to them that it's Estonian as opposed to German or Spanish. It doesn't matter. It is a European Union-based company. I recommend it to people because it's just really easy to get your head around. My personal experience living in Berlin, which is a high-tech city, I was working in an edtech company there, just going to my accountant and saying, I need a company, quick. And him saying, well, actually, it's not going to be quick. You have to pay things in advance, and it's all in German. You have to do it in paper and pen, and you have to come here physically at least 2 or 3 times. It's just a no-brainer. I recommend the Estonian model to people.
I must confess, as someone who's been running businesses for 36 years myself, the phrase, it just works, is incredibly attractive. Alistair, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Ian. It was a pleasure.